الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب سنتي فقد أحبني ومن أحبني كان معي في الجنة وقال أيضا الصلاة وما ملكت إيمانكم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Most respected علماء اكرام, elders and dear friends, if you look at the life of a believer, then the core, the essence, the most integral part of a person's life, a believer's life, is his belief and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, refraining from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the core of the life of a believer. And coupled with that, we understand from this hadith sharif that I recited, Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah, that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, next in line is our obedience to our beloved master, none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the commands and the injunctions, and following the entire lifestyle of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This makes up the core of a person's life, the core of a believer's life, is his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his obedience to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We understand that the love that a person has to have for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the love that a believer has for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is something that is natural in a believer's life. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with so many great virtues, so many great accolades that other Anbiya alayhim as-salam were not favored with. No other human being was favored with the type of favors that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was favored with. Please ensure that our cell phones are switched off, especially musical tones are haram. They are not permissible in the house of Allah. It distracts everybody. Please ensure that our cell phones are switched off before we come inside the masjid. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Gee, as I was saying, that a believer, his love that he has for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something that is natural in his heart. And this is for many reasons. One reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with great favors and accolades over any other creation of his. Another reason that a person has love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart naturally is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's countless sacrifices and his qurbani for his ummah, if a person looks at that, it will engender love in his heart. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has said in the Qur'an Majeed, "An-Nabiyyu awla bil-mu'minina min anfusihim," that the Nabi of Allah is closer to a believer, to the believers, than their own selves even. So this love that a person, a mu'min, is supposed to have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we understand from this hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah." That person who loves my sunnah, meaning that person who loves my way of life, that person loves me. And if a person, that person who loves me, then he will have my companionship in Jannah. So this love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a yardstick for this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not just a verbal mentioning or just a statement that a person loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is some proof that a person has to have behind this claim of his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that is that the sunnah, this way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu has to be found in my life completely. Whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had advocated, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had advised to be done and to do should be found in my life. And whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had instructed me to refrain from, to keep away from and not to do, this should not be found in my life. If I have this level of obedience to the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then inshallah my claim of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be a true claim, and then inshallah I will enjoy the companionship of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Jannah. If we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning the entire life, lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then if we take all the various aspects which are too vast to complete in any number of bayans, if we take all of these aspects and we summarize them under two large subheadings, then we will find that they are just two major portions to the entire sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that is huququllah and huququl ibad. Every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will obviously fall beneath one of these two categories. There is no other category. So if it's a person's fulfillment, is the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has showed us and taught us the manner in which we need to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has showed us and taught us to fulfill the rights of the various classes of people, human beings who we deal with. If a person brings this into his life and he studies the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam step by step, and he understands what is due from him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I have to obey every injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to follow every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And I have to refrain from every prohibition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person studies this and understands this and he practices this, then inshallah he will be fulfilling this aspect. And likewise, if a person studies the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the manner in which Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had fulfilled the rights of the various classes of people, whether it was his wives, his children, his subordinates, his companions, the Sahaba, or anybody else, and then a person follows this, copies this, and brings it into his life, then inshallah, this will help him to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life in fulfilling the rights of people, and thereby he will inshallah complete his manner of following Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if we just look at one aspect from the huququllah, from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are so many rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, chalked out, and defined for us in detail. We just look at one of those rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the greatest right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which our Ustad Hazrat Mawlana Zakaria Sahib, down barakatuhum, was emphasizing over for the last 2 weeks, was the aspect of salah. From the huquq of Allah, we're talking about salah. The one aspect, salah in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming back to the hadith, man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah. I need to weigh my salah and see where does my salah stand in contrast to the level of attention and the level of detail that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained in his hadith, and the level of attention Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed in his life for salah. Where does my salah weigh up? Where does my salah fall? So if we look at the entire life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mawlana had already explained many, many incidents of the emphasis that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had laid on performing salah throughout his life. Let us just talk about the final illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the preferred view, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made parda from this world on a Monday, and according to most people, the most authentic view is the 2nd of Rabiul Awal, a Monday. And before this Monday, the Thursday that preceded this Monday, The Thursday that preceded this Monday, the Maghrib Salah was the last Salah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed as the Imam completely from beginning to end. When the time of Isha Salah had come, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sickness had intensified. His sickness had become much worse. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was falling unconscious. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell unconscious once. When he came out of his unconsciousness, the first thing that he asked is, have the Sahaba radiallahu anhum performed the Isha Salah? Have they performed the Salah? So the answer was given, no, they are waiting for you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just look at the importance that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam places on Salah. And when in his final illness, when his illness has reached to such a peak, which you will understand from this incident, still the fikr for Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks his household members to assist him to take a bath. And inshallah he will feel refreshed by that and he will attempt to go and perform the Salah. They assist him. Day after, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tries to go for Salah for a second time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam falls unconscious. When he comes out of the state of unconsciousness, he asks the people of his household, have the Sahaba perform the Salah? Has the Salah? They say, no, they are waiting for you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Same process repeated the second time. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam falls unconscious for the third time. When he comes out of the state of unconsciousness, again he asks, have the people performed their Salah? Same answer is given. Same process. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam still unable, he falls unconscious. For the fourth time, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out of his unconsciousness and he asks that have the people perform their Salah, and the answer is given, no. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu to go and perform the Salah. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the throes, in his last illness, the illness that preceded his demise and parda from this dunya. Now we have to weigh our lives. Look at the fikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for that Salah at this portion of his life. When he is completely ill to such a level that he's falling unconscious over and over again, and still the effort is being made, the lesson is being taught to the ummah that Salah is of primary importance. Now we just need to shift the focus to our own lives. That when I am busy in my work, does that adhan of the muadzin jolt me and move me away to come and perform my salah, to leave what I'm doing and come to the masjid? Leave the work situation. If I'm in my entertainment, if I'm enjoying time with my family, we're talking about halal entertainment. We're not even talking about haram entertainment. Allah forbid. If I'm enjoying myself in my halal entertainment with my family, maybe at some meals or maybe at some function, and when the adhan is called, it's a time of salah, am I conscious to leave what I am doing and proceed for salah? If that is not the case, then we have to reflect. We have to think. Also, when I'm going to sleep at night, am I making a concerted effort, especially now that we are coming into the summer months and Fajr is getting early, am I making a concerted effort to make sure I set a few alarms? If I miss one, I'll get the other, so that I will wake up for the Fajr Salah and perform the Salah, Fajr Salah with Jamaat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is falling unconscious time after time, but his effort is there. He's making that effort to try and get to the masjid to perform salah with jamaat. I have to weigh myself out and see, where am I falling in this? Then, as we mentioned, time doesn't permit to explain all the different hukukullah and hukukul ibad. The next point that we would like to discuss is the aspect of the hukukul ibad. That in the same illness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on that Thursday, before Zuhar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a very, very severe headache. His head was bandaged. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was severely ill. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked Hazrat Fadl ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu to give him support, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascends the minbar, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this condition, he advises the people. He advises the people various things. But as we had mentioned, that if we summarize the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we have hukukullah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we need to emulate according to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hukukul ibad, the rights due to the different classes of people in society, to emulate that in our lives according to the benchmark set by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now also we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so ill, he's so sick, He goes on the minbar and he gives his final khutbah. Amongst the many things Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had explained, one of the points that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had driven in this khutbah was the rights of people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's speaking, is that masoom Nabi that had never caused harm unjustly to any person, let any person, any animal even. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the sahaba, words to this effect, that if I had unjustly lashed the back of any person, then here is my back, come and lash me now. If I had hurt the honor of any person unjustly, then here is my honor, come and say whatever you need to say to me. If I had said some hurtful words to anyone, come say it to me, I am here, say it to me. If I had unjustly taken the wealth of any person, then come now and claim your wealth from me. Claim your wealth from me. And no person should say that if I stand up, I'm just giving you the understood meaning of this incident, not the exact words of the hadith. No person should say that if I stand up now and claim a right against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will hold a grudge against me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarifies this and says that holding grudges, harboring malice, is not in my nature and is not something, it is not according to my status. Holding grudges against people is not in my nature and is not according to my status. Coming back to the hadith that we mentioned, man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah. This was the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not holding grudges against anyone, not holding, harboring malice in his heart against anyone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that masoom Nabi, is making this announcement. He made it once before the Zuhr Salah. And this Rasulullah sallallahu mentioned, this is not sufficient, you will repeat this announcement. After the Zuhr Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu repeats this announcement again. We need to think. We hear these things many a times. We hear the importance of Salah over and over again. We hear we hear and read and listen about fulfillment of rights of our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, human beings, over and over again. But the point to reflect is, if I have heard about the importance of Salah 100 times, has the level of my Salah even increased by 10%? If I've heard about the importance of Salah 1,000 times, still has the level of my Salah increased by 10%? If it hasn't increased, if my fikr for Salah, if my concern for Salah, and my concern for every other aspect of deen which I'm repeatedly hearing about, if my concern for fulfillment of the rights of people, the way I treat my wife, the way an employer treats his employee, the way an employee treats his employer, the way each person interacts with, if according to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I've been hearing over and over again, talk after talk, bayan after bayan, if this has not impacted my life and has not improved me and has not brought me closer to the platform of loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through my actions, then we have to sit and think. We have to sit and think. The point is, after we hear the bayans, after we read the posts, after we read the articles, it needs reflection. We have to sit and think and ponder. This, what is being said, is directed to me. These words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this case, in my case, my ears are closest to my mouth, so whatever I'm saying is firstly for me. Me, myself. And like that, every person has to think that what I'm hearing is for me. It's an advice for me. It's an admonition for me. Because life is so short and unpredictable, a person can be here now in a moment and he can be gone in the next moment. What face will he stand before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah? If being a believer in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life is completely in contrast to the way shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How sad and sorrowful it will be for a believer in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be deprived of the companionship of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of understanding what is told to us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of pondering, sharing with our families, and trying slowly, slowly bringing one aspect at a time into our lives, one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the thing is, we have to make the niyyah, and we have to start off from somewhere. Huge buildings don't just pop up out of fresh air. They commence from a foundation. There is trenching done, there is concrete poured, there is steel put in, and then the brickwork starts from the bottom right until that huge skyscraper is complete. So inshallah, we will get there to that level of the skyscraper and even beyond. But we have to start somewhere. We have to listen to one advice and bring it into our lives, speak to our families, read the fazail kitabs at home, read the fazail of different amal, of different aspects of deen, salah, zakat, love for the Sahaba, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah. Read these things at home so that it engenders love for us, and read with an open mind that whatever is being read, whatever is read and being read is for me, for my improvement. Read it with that niyat. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.